In Jesus' name, amen.
Put yourself in Paul's place in Colossae, or at least writing to the Colossians, for a moment. What in the world am I to do with these folks? Here I am. I'm sitting in prison. Epaphras comes to me. Now, he's a good guy, I think. But what does he do? He gives me good news, and he gives me bad news. Good news, Colossians are doing some good things. He even wrote down some things they were doing good. Faith in Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. They love each other. They have blessed hope in the life to come that gives them power to do good things on earth. Great news. But doggone it, Epaphras also has some very, very bad news. Do you know what those folks are doing? They've got some very goofy ideas. I can't imagine. I teach so clearly. How could they get goofy ideas from, well, not from me, of course. Worshiping angels? Really? Connecting our blessed Christ with this New Age stuff of astral powers and cultic practices? Creating new rules about asceticism related to food and drink? And then it sounds like they've got this new psychotherapy called self-abasement therapy, where you just kind of flagellate yourself in the name of God. Goofy! I've never met these people. What do I do? Well, I'll write. And Epaphras can carry the letter. But what'll I say? Jesus, give me your Holy Spirit as you promised. How am I to begin? I know, I'll criticize them from the very beginning. They're wrong, I'm right, they're goofy, I'm smart. I'll just tell them directly. That's it, I'll just react to what they're doing. Whoops. Jesus, grant me your Holy Spirit as you promised. I'll give them a piece of my mind. None of them got thrown off a horse on the way to Damascus. I know more than they do. Paul, take a deep breath. Grant me your Holy Spirit, Jesus, as you promised. But they have goofy ideas and false doctrine. Maybe I'll, I'll bring them before a tribunal of some kind. Jesus, grant me your Holy Spirit as promised. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers in Christ and Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. To those with whom he disagrees, and to those with whom he will speak a witness to the faith, Paul begins not with condemnation or reactivity, but with a greeting of grace and peace, with a word of thanksgiving and a prayer for them. This is a model of dealing with disagreements and conflicts. Bless folks in grace and peace. Look for those things about which thanksgiving can be given. Find the positives. And pray for them even before you begin to state your disagreements. Would our lives, I know mine, would be so different if we were to pray for, to say nothing of, find the good in, to say nothing of blessing those with whom we disagree. Think of it. A life of active prayer for our enemies. A life of finding things in those with whom we disagree for which to give thanks. A life of prayerful, I pray God's blessings on you activity. I can tell you, it makes a huge difference. But who can do it? Not me. I'm basically too neurotic to do such things. It's very hard to pray for your enemies or to give thanks for them. And if I'm really ticked at somebody, I'm not likely to find the good news in their lives. But the grace of Christ can empower me. When I try to follow Paul's example, I very often come up short, but then I flee to the cross of Christ, where God never, ever reacts to me without the covering of the cloth of Christ. God finds the positive in me all the time because of the work of God's Son. It is God's unconditional love in Jesus Christ that makes it possible for me, in small and imperfect ways, to follow Paul's very good and very inspired example. And when I miss the mark, as when you miss the mark, God's love in Christ never misses you or me.